Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Welcome to Revival Life Church. I'm pretty excited about today. We've had a good time in the Lord this last week. Intercession has been amazing. Our Friday night burning room has been amazing. God has been good. He's opening up dreams and visions for people. It's so good. So good. How are you liking two services? Is it working for people? Amen. It's working. I think it's working, especially for the children's ministry. They don't miss a service. That's so good. That's a good word, right? I want to do something real quick before we get started. If you work in the parking lot ministry, can you stand for me? If you're part of our parking lot ministry team, can you stand? Give it up for these folks if you would. We want to bless these people. So if you're near them, you're the prayer team. If you would lay a hand on them, just begin to bless their lives real good. I tell you what, there's just serving the body. I don't know of any lower place to serve than in the parking lot. I believe there's a special blessing for folks who will humble themselves in the South Florida heat and wave at cars. So just declare good things over them real quick. If you just declare good things over them and to prophesy into their lives, breakthrough, that God would abundantly pour himself out, wow, on them as they serve your body, Father. We know that you're bringing breakthrough for their lives. Abundant provision over them. Jesus, breakthrough in their lives in the name, wow, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Good job. Good job. Give it up for that if you would. Amen. Now, if you serve in Revival Kids Junior, Chapel Kids, can you stand for us, please? Come on, give it up. You know, we make children's ministry really important here. You may hear the children throughout the service on the other side of that wall, and we're not going to make them be quiet. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Because we can focus, they can't. Right? They just need to be able to have a gun. We need them to grow up knowing that church is a place where positive things happen, where good people who love them are. They wouldn't want them. So if you just stand and just go ahead and stretch a hand towards them, put a hand on their shoulder, just begin to bless them real, real good. If nobody's praying for you yet, put your hand straight up in the air until someone's praying for you. Got some people right here? We got over there. Anywhere else? Okay. Bless them. Stand up and begin to pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. More. More. We got some people up here in the front who need prayer. Two people right here. No one's praying for them. Right on the on the front row. Right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to bless them real good. Just declare abundance in their lives as they have served the little ones. You said, Lord, do not forbid the little ones to come to me. Thank you, Jesus, that you receive them, Lord. We want your wisdom on these people. We want your peace on their lives so they can give it to the little ones, Lord. We want your provision on them so they're not concerned about things while they're ministering. Father, I thank you that you're concerned about the little ones, that you hover over them, that you would increase their presence, your presence in their lives. We ask for just an increased angelic presence on them in the name of Jesus. Visions. Wow. Come on, just begin to pray for visions. 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 Ah. Visions. Increased miracles in children's ministry. Increased miracles in children's ministry. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Come on, give it up real quick. Go ahead. I don't know if we've had our first miracle in children's ministry in our new building. Have we? We have? Oh, who said that? We did. We've had it already. What was it? Okay, so we had healing in children's ministry. And when we have healing in children's ministry, the children are the ones who prayed. That's not too exciting, right? I mean, that's just normal, isn't it? I mean, that's just God's doing a miracle through kids. Yeah, whatever, you know. Well, whatever. Turn the air down a little bit for me. I'm a little uncomfortable. I'll take miracles. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 So we're in our Shine message series. It's been good, yeah?
Yes.
Been good. We want to just baptize this place in the presence of God.
Yes.
We want God's face to shine down upon, wow. We just want his face to shine down upon what we do here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah. Hallelujah. You know, God doesn't need a building, but we do.
Amen.
Right? And he provides our needs. I have found it's easier to receive from God when I can hear the speaker and I'm not sweating to death in the heat. Amen?
Amen.
I think God knows that. I believe it was the Spirit of God who birthed air conditioning. Don't you? I just feel like the Lord was hovering. It's almost as if a prophetic sign when the air comes on. It's like Holy Spirit himself is hovering over me. The Comforter, right? They call him the Comforter, right?
Amen.
So he has to be in air conditioning somehow. Amen? So in our Shine message series, we're talking about what it looks like when God's face turns towards you, how you react to that, how we need to be able to grow deep roots to be able to tap into what God is doing so we can sustain it in our lives and our families, so we can sustain it. Amen?
Amen.
And today, I want to, did I tell you to turn to Matthew chapter 3? Did I say that already? Well, if I didn't, go ahead and do that. I'm going to talk today about being a prophetic voice to this generation. Talk about being a prophetic voice to this generation. Hallelujah. Now, being a prophetic voice is not being weird. And it's not being mean.
Amen.
You don't have to be mean or weird to be a prophetic voice. Amen?
Amen?
As a matter of fact, I have found that you can be normal and you can be nice and be a prophetic voice. Now, there's places that specialize in weird, mean prophets, and if that's you feel like your call, if you can find them, because they're not actually doing anything outside of the church, but if you can find them, go ahead and go there, because here we're going to be nice, and we're not going to be weird.
Amen.
Right, Kellyanne? Nice and not weird.
Amen.
We're going to be regular people, but we can be a prophetic voice for this generation. Amen?
Amen.
It's amazing. Jesus, I don't think, was weird or mean. It attracted a bit of a following. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called the church.
Yeah.
Right? It worked out well for him. Right? And so that's what we want to do. We want to emulate Jesus. We want to love what he loved and hate what he hated. And we want to reach those who don't know him. We don't want to be mad at people who don't know him. How can they? Because they don't know. I'm going to be mean to somebody because of their ignorance. That make much sense, right?
Yeah.
It's like taking a test and then giving the lesson. Doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
We're judging the world like they failed the test already. We haven't even taught the lesson.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Wow.
It's our job to teach the lesson. It's his job to do the testing. Amen?
Amen?
It's our job to give the lesson. It's not our job to do the testing.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? So that's what we're going to specialize in. And we've had a bit of an outpouring happening. We've been living under it for about, 9 years. However, specifically in the last month or so, God has really moved in our midst. In our burning room, God did something on Friday night. Not even sure what the, if you know what I'm talking about, you'll get it. The room kind of exploded. The room kind of exploded, and people just began to get caught up in visions in mass, which is pretty neat. We had people come up and share their visions, and it was just amazing. Didn't have time to hear all of them. I'm sure there were more than what we heard just because God was moving. And I'm believing that in this service, if you'll position yourself, God will continue that in you, right? I believe the Lord is going to awaken today. Amen? Amen? You're like, well, I'm already awake. Well, let's get awakened more, right? Zechariah, chapter 4. We talked about it Friday night, but we see that Zechariah had already had six prophetic words. Now, Zechariah was a prophet, and his prophetic words were all Bible. Nobody in this room, all of us in this room collectively, have not gotten one Bible prophecy. Are you hearing me? Because it's already been written, right? We're not getting more Bible. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He had six. He had six visions, encounters, prophetic words that were the Bible. And then we see in Zechariah chapter 4, the angel came and woke him up like a man who was asleep. And then the angel said, look. Now Zechariah, who prophesied six Bible visions. Hear me. His visions were so God they became Bible. Needed to be awakened to see. How much more us? Amen? Are you with me? How much more us? Right? And I'm just believing. And I'm saying us. Us. We need to be awakened to what God is saying. We need to be awakened to see what He is showing us. Right? And so I'm just believing this is going to happen. So let's just look in the Word here today. I'm talking about being a prophetic voice of this generation. Ooh, I feel the presence. Ooh, this is... Just focus on Jesus. I don't want to be... Woo. Ha. Ha. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm having a good time right now. I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. I'd rather speak poorly and God be here than me be amazing and Him taking a nap, right? Him being present, that's good enough right there. Amen?
Amen.
Could you, I'm going to say it anyways. Can you imagine going to church and God not being there? Why go? Just stay home and preach to yourself. Right? Go to church and God not being there. Don't mess with us. I'm not, okay, I'm going to reel that in because that's not what I want to talk about today. My wife is giving me the reel it in symbol. Reel it in. We have some core beliefs at Revival Life Church that we really hold on to. And one is the only thing worse than God not being in a church service is God not being in a church service and acting like He is. Then you got nothing to hope for.
Yeah.
At least if you can acknowledge He's not there, you can tarry a little bit. Amen?
Yeah.
If you're acting like He's there and He's not, then... Okay. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Let's read the Bible. Amen? It's going to be up here if you didn't bring your Bible. But if you have one, you can read along with me. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord. Make His paths straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. Verse 6, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, wow, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is about to, excuse me one second here. God's messing with me a second. Hold on a second. For we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. And I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let's read verse 11 again together, shall we? Verse 11, let's read it together. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Say fire one more time. Fire. Ah. That's what we need, amen? We need the Holy Ghost fire in our lives. We need a fire in our lives. We need to light a fire under some things in our lives, amen? We need holy fire to fall on the church, amen? Wow, we need a little holy fire on the church. Come on, the church has been a no smoking zone long enough. We need a little bit of fire happening. Need a little burning embers to touch the to take them from the altar and touch the mouths of the modern day prophets. Amen. We need the fire of God in the church. We need the fire of God in the church. All the Lord needs is just some people who will say, I'm going to serve Jesus, not anxiety. I'm going to serve Jesus in spite of my depression. I'm going to serve Jesus in spite of my confusion. I don't understand, but I'm doing it anyway. Need some people. I don't care. I don't get it, but I don't need to get it. Amen. I gave it to him before. You don't have to give it to me. I've surrendered my understanding. I'm serving Jesus. Amen. It's what the church needs today. I'm just going to do what he said to do. Amen? Amen. We need to give him a sacrifice. He always consumes a sacrifice with fire. Amen. And some of you have given all your good stuff. Now how about you give him your anxiety and your depression? That doesn't get a voice in my life anymore. You do. And you say, well, will he deliver me from it? Maybe not. Serve him anyways. Some of you need to give him your poverty. But I'm broke. When I'm not broke, I'll no, do it now. Quit making broke your God. Amen? I'm in a good mood right now. I'm not angry at all. I am burning. Are you burning today? I am burning. I don't know. Well, I do know what's happening. I was going to say, I don't know. I'd like to lay down, but I'm working. And how many of you know the boss didn't want to see his employees laying on the job, right? So I'm just going to keep working, trusting that he will sustain me. The very one who is burning me. Don't understand it, but I'm just going to go, wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We started a group in CCB, in our church database, and it's titled the very spiritual name, Guys Who Can Fix Things. Is that what it's called? Guys Who Can Fix Things? Is that what it's called? Guys Who Can Fix Things. And you can be a guy or a lady. I was going to think of a crafty way to say that, but I didn't come up with one. Just a guy or a lady. And if you can fix things, if you can fix stuff, you know what that means. We're going to add you to the group. When we need stuff fixed, we're going to ask the group who can come fix stuff. Amen? I'm buying time right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get my wits about me. I'm just telling you about stuff that really has nothing to do with anything. It's a preacher trick. I'll show you what they say. Just give them a hand clap if you would. That's a preacher trick. That's a preacher trick right there. I'm uncovering the secrets. I'm covering the preacher secrets. Listen, we if we're going to be a prophetic voice in this generation, we're going to have to come against some things who don't want us to be a prophetic voice. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Huh. We saw it really started in the 60s and 70s with the I don't even remember what it's called anymore. You'll just have to believe me, there is a movement. But as intellectualism began to just really invade the church, by the 80s, we saw that biblical liberalism had really taken a foothold in the church. Now, when I use the word liberal, I want you to understand I'm not talking about political liberals or political conservatives. I'm going to use the word conservative. And liberal, but biblical liberals and biblical Christian conservatives is not the same as political liberals and political conservatives. Amen. This is about to be a revelation for some of you right now. People can be a political liberal and still love Jesus, and this is about to be a revelation for you too. You can be a political conservative and still love Jesus. Depending on where you're at, that just like sounds like blasphemy, but it's absolutely true. There's people following Jesus on both sides of the political spectrum. As hard as it is for people to believe that, it's actually true. As a matter of fact, I don't believe Jesus in either one of them. Amen. I believe Jesus is outside of that whole system. But we're going to talk about being biblically liberal and biblically conservative, and I just need you to try to not associate that with politics. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Okay. So we saw biblical liberals come in and begin to have really a lot of power in the church. And biblical liberalism, it looks like not political liberalism. It begins to say that the word of God is not literally true. The Bible is not literally true, and what God has told us to do is not literal anymore. A biblical liberal would say that we're all supposed to be good, but what good means today is not necessarily what it meant before. There are stories in the Bible, but they may or may not be literally true. They believe that, you know, Jesus may or may not have actually walked the earth. He may or may not have really been God, and he most likely wasn't actually resurrected from the dead if he lived at all. There are stories in the Bible, but they're really just there to bring out moral truths, even though we may not agree on what those moral truths are. That's called biblical liberalism. And that means that the word of God is not literal. It's not to be taken too seriously. It's just something we study. Whereas a biblical conservative would say that the word of God is true. It means what it says it means and more. Right? There are deeper theological and deeper moral lessons to learn in the word of God, but the surface ones are true as well. Amen. When it talks about Jesus going up to someone and healing them, that's not a figure of speech that he talked to them and they felt better. That means he literally went up to someone and healed them.
Yeah.
And there are some other things we can extrapolate from the story, but it's literally true, right? Yeah. Now, there are allegories in the Bible. There is a lot of poetry in the Bible, and not everything in the Bible is literal. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Right? I am not a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? I'm like a tree, but I'm not going to grow leaves, right? That's not literal. That's something different. Are you with me? But the teachings of the new covenant are absolutely true. There actually is a heaven and there actually is a hell. This is biblical liberalism, biblical conservatism. Now, beginning in about the 80s, the largest denomination in the United States, the Southern Baptist Coalition, started seeing biblical liberalism begin to take over their entire denomination. Not only was the president of the Southern Baptist Coalition a biblical liberal, but they ran almost all of their large seminaries. And as many of you know, if we can win the kids, then we get the next generation. There was a pretty concerted effort to run the theological seminaries in a way that it would turn the entire denomination away from biblical literalism into liberalism. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
And to the point where the Southern Baptists have their own printing press, their own imprint, their own publishing house, and they began putting out books talking about how the inconsistencies of the Bible and how it's not literally true. And some guys started to get a little alarmed. And they came up with a plan. And the plan was, we, the people of the Southern Baptist Coalition, are going to try to get some leaders elected to our denomination who actually believe the Bible. Yeah. I'm for that. How about you?
Amen.
I am for that. And so it was really, it didn't seem like it would make sense, but they theorized that there's a lot more biblical conservatives in our denomination than have voice right now. And we want to kind of try to pull these quiet conservatives and get them active in the politics of our denomination. This isn't our denomination. I'm talking about them in their denomination, and elect some leaders who are biblical conservatives so that they can then begin to appoint leaders of seminaries and committees who are biblical conservatives and turn their entire denomination. And in fact, it worked. So in the late 80s, the Southern Baptist Coalition had just some real, real tough times as biblical conservatives became the presidents of seminaries and actually the president of the denomination. It was so it was such a tumultuous time for them that at graduation ceremonies, when the conservative president would get up, the students would turn their back to him, who were being ordained by the denomination, as crazy as that sounds. They were serious. The liberals have really felt like our intellectualism has now gotten higher than the Bible. We've graduated from the Bible into intellectual truths. And some guys were like, we're not going there. No thanks, no how. We're just going to stay here with the Word of God. And so they were able over the next 10 years to pretty much completely make over their denomination. And it really was, I believe, a work of God. Amen. And what happened was they started to feel themselves a little bit. They started to really recognize, wow, there is power in this. Wow, because men love power. And when I say men, I mean men and women, but even more so men. But we love power. We all love power. Power is the most addictive drug there is. Power is an addictive drug, and it's hard to keep it under control. And so power starts to make us think that we're someone we're not, that we're bigger than we thought we were. It just begins to move us in relation to other people. And so as they had this power, anytime you see a move of God go cultish, you'll see how they treat the women. That's the first, it's like the canary in the cave, right? That's the first thing that dies, the women. The women got to get in line. That's because men start getting powerful, women got to get in line. The first thing that happens. I don't know who that's for, but that's the first thing that happens. And so then the conservatives became ultra conservative. They moved from being biblical conservatives to social conservatives. And all of a sudden, their idea of social conservatism started getting codified. And they started to get the women in line. No longer are women equals, but women are less than men. They took the scripture that says, wives, submit to your husband, and they made it mean that women submit to men. All women submit to all men. Could have been serving the Lord for 40 years. Out there as a missionary to Africa, planted churches, but a guy shows up who's 18, you better submit to him. All kind of crazy stuff. But they had this power, and the power was growing, and it was unchecked because now they ran the denomination, and they said, wait a minute. Not only has our denomination gotten liberal, our country has gotten liberal. We need to export our power to the country. Now, when Christians start getting civil power, it never works out well for the church. Because we move on from faith to power. We move on from trusting God to, God, watch what I can do. And when people start being in charge of other people, things get ugly. And so they began to export this this religious power to political power. And then all of a sudden, it became Christian to be a political conservative. Now, if you're a political conservative, great. Good for you. That's your choice. But you can't say one is Christian and one is not. Amen. All of a sudden, instead of really laying hold of what Jesus said was important, all of a sudden, something else became important in the name of power. This got so big and it got so right wing that all of a sudden now, if you were to kind of study it today, the Southern Baptist Coalition is having some serious problems. And I'm not bashing the Southern Baptist Coalition. I'm with anybody who preaches the gospel. But if you follow media now, they got some problems. Some of these very leaders who started out being turning the ship towards the Bible are now being kind of exposed as being misogynists. Misogynist is a man who does not treat a woman well to the extreme. Matter of fact, one of these conservative leaders right now, there's a whole thing going on that, they're teaching things like women should stay in a marriage even if she's being beat. Even if you're being beaten, you should not leave because at some point your husband might get convicted and turn to Jesus. That is insane. At no point should a woman ever leave her husband because God has ordered you to stay there. Even if you're being physically, spiritually, or emotionally, or sexually abused. That is crazy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That is insane. I want to state emphatically, the moment someone raises their hand in violence, your next movement is not to hit back, but to call 911. Amen.
Amen.
You leave the house and you call the police. Oh, but I love him so much. That's awesome. Go next door and call the police and get some civil authorities involved in fixing this thing. Are you with me? I can't state that. There's just no way I can overemphasize that God does not want anybody to be physically abused. Now, I've heard of missionaries who allowed themselves to be persecuted physically to win people to Christ. That's because maybe the Holy Spirit directed you. I mean, I don't know. Follow God, right? But it's not God's desire for you to be beaten in the name of love.
Amen.
Those lost people that are persecuting the church, they're lost. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me? Let me just take that one step further, and maybe I'm on a soapbox. Maybe this isn't my place, but at no point should you ever, for the sake of someone's reputation, allow a child to stay in harm's way. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's your uncle, dad, pastor, president. I don't care. If a child is mistreated, you need to call the authorities.
Amen.
If I find out about it, I'm calling the police before we end the conversation.
Amen.
I'm not even going to wait till you leave. I'm calling right then. It's insanity that you would let a child be physically or sexually abused because you don't want the other person to have their life destroyed.
Wow.
Somebody's life is more important, and it's the child's.
Amen.
This, my friends, is the gospel. The children are more important than you are. The broken are more important than you are. Hear me. The poor are more important than the rich. That's the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about our realm, the church. Oh, but I'm not talking about taxes. That's the government's problem. I'm talking about the church. And for us, the believers, the church of Jesus Christ, the called out ones, those who claim to be followers of Christ. He made it pretty clear that the poor are more important than the rich.
Amen.
That's not the American gospel, but it is what biblical conservatism will actually lead you to. Believing the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so I consider myself a biblical conservative. I consider myself an orthodox Christian. I just believe the stuff in the book. I believe the stuff that I don't understand. I believe the stuff that I haven't seen yet. I'm asking God to do it in my midst. Amen?
Amen.
They just had regular encounters with angels. I don't. It's not because the Bible has now gotten old. It's because I'm not having encounters with angels.
Amen.
I actually do have encounters with angels. That's a lie. The Lord just rebuked me. I do, but I want to have them more. Amen? I want to see more miracles. I've never raised anyone from the dead yet. I don't understand. I don't see a lot of dead people, unfortunately. But I've seen a couple, and none of them got raised from the dead. The Bible's pretty emphatic that that's what we're supposed to be doing, so I'm going for it. How about you?
Amen.
Come on. Amen?
Amen?
You know, you have to actually pray for dead people, though.
Amen.
We need some Holy Ghost morticians. Holy Ghost morticians. I like the thought of that. But listen, if we're going to be a prophetic voice to this generation, we're going to have to do something a little bit different than what man can produce. Amen?
Wow.
I'm sorry. Give me one second here. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Ha. 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 Okay. Jesus said he's coming back and he's looking for faith. He's really looking for faith. Would he find it in our lives? What would be the evidence if we got put on trial for being a person of faith? What would be the evidence that they use to convict us? Oh, here's proof that they're walking in faith. Where is that in your life? It's has disappointment clouded out your faith? You know, have you decided to kind of protect yourself instead of continuing to venture in faith? I don't know. These are the pitfalls. Amen. These are the pitfalls that our society gives us. But listen, we need to. Oh goodness, I'm running out of time. If we're going to be a prophetic voice, we're going to have to stick to what God told us to do. So if you're taking notes, I have a couple points here, and I'm going to start talking quickly. We need to stick to the gospel. Amen. Write it down. We got to stick to the gospel. If we're going to be a prophetic voice for this generation, we got to stick to the gospel. We need to stick to a Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. We need to look at the words in red and believe them.
Amen.
The words in red have to be truth. The words in red have to be truth. There's a whole stream of biblical liberalism that says that the movement of the Holy Ghost has stopped. These are people who don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Word of God. That we're supposed to actually have supernatural power in our lives. That's biblical liberalism. There's no way you can read the Bible and come away saying, I guess apostles, prophets, and miracles aren't for today. It's impossible to read the Bible and come away with that. The only way you can come to that conclusion, if you decide out of biblical liberalism that the Bible is not true for today.
Wow.
Are you with me? I don't want to be a liberal. I want to be a biblical conservative. I want to stick to the Word of God. I want to stick to the gospel. I want to stick to the words I read. I want to stick to the Sermon on the Mount. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Read it. The things that were really important to Jesus, he talked about. He didn't preach a whole lot of sermons. So the ones he preached were probably pretty important. In the church today, you can check out of a month or two. You'll be fine, right? Jesus only preached a couple of sermons. You might want to look at those. We might want to look at those and get them ingrained in ourselves, into our thoughts, in our mind, in our belief system. Because that's what's going to unlock his power. His will, doing his will unlock his power. And so we need to study these things. He didn't say, you know, hey, guess what? If you're comfortable and you're rich and you vote the right way, I'm with you. That's not what he said. That's not what he said.
Amen.
He said, listen, blessed are the poor. Listen, he told us we got to take care of people. We got to take care of people. Their problems have to matter to us. We can't give in to the system of the world. The world has a system for you to follow. The American gospel has a system for you to follow. And it's just strive to be rich, strive to get more stuff, strive to spend more money. Let your whole life be about you being comfortable and rich. It kind of flies in the face of the gospel. Now, I hope you are comfortable and rich. I hope that's added to your faith in Jesus, though. Are you with me? I hope that's added to you. I hope all of you have access to tremendous amounts of money. I hope you have access to a tremendous amount of resources. But that can't be the foundation of your belief system. We got to stick to the gospel. Look at this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom is at hand. This was his message. Repent. He didn't talk about 5 steps to achieving your comfort. He didn't talk about 13 ways to not be worried. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look, there's good news in the gospel. There's bad news in the gospel. There is a real heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And I plan on being there with all you. How about you? Come on. But there's a real hell. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to go there. I don't want anyone I know to go there. We got to repent. He says, change your perspective. Stop looking at what the world wants you to stare at. Stop valuing the things that the world says you need to value. Stop putting that above the supernatural values. We need to change our perspective to see him and obtain his promises. We need to repent. Now, as you're talking to people, as you're being a prophetic voice to this generation, you might say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to point at. I don't know how to win someone to Christ. I don't know how to, I gotta learn these things. And if you ever had loved ones who had the misfortune of being Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a book. They have a book that they give you. And in the book, it has you share something and it has 3 different responses that someone might tell you, what a Christian might tell you, a scripture that a Christian might tell you, or this thing that someone might say, and then they give you an argument to say back. You got to memorize an entire book because you got to be the whole walking dictionary because you're on your own with them. With us, God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
And God has given us some powerful tools to be a prophetic voice. Look at this. Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is, wait a minute, what's the power? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. What is the power of God for salvation? Oh, we're going to say this a couple times. What is the power of God for salvation? Let's say it again. What is the power of God for salvation? Listen, not your crafty things that you learn, not your sayings, not the cute little rhyming quips that you come up with. I'm telling you, the gospel has power. You just tell people the gospel, it has power. Remember, we're just a teacher. He's the one who does the testing. You just got to tell people about Jesus. It's really that simple. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. You should turn to Jesus. I don't know if that's going to help. All I know is Jesus Christ died on the cross to overcome the things that you're dealing with right now. That's all I know. I'm just telling you what I know. Jesus Christ was alive, then he died, and now he's alive again. Now he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father praying for me right now, and you probably want that to happen for you too. That's the gospel. Well, I don't know if that's going to solve their problem. Well, if you don't believe that God can solve problems, I'm not sure what to tell you, but still share the gospel because it has power. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Are you with me? We got to get the focus off of us. Oh, I'm nervous. Okay, we'll share the gospel. Well, I don't know what I'm going to say. Well, share the gospel. But what if they say something? I don't know, but share the gospel.
Amen.
You don't got to judge them. Oh, well, what do you think about same-sex marriage? I think that Jesus Christ was alive, and then he died, and then he was alive again, and now he's at the right hand of the Father praying, and you should probably ask him. I don't know. I'm just telling you that Jesus Christ is alive, and you should know him. Well, do you believe in drinking? I do believe that Jesus Christ was alive, and then he died, and then he became alive again, and now he's at the right hand of the Father praying for you. You should probably talk to him about that. We're just too smart in the church today. We just got too much knowledge, too much. We just need to point people to Jesus. We just need to be a little bit dumber. We just need to be a little more humble. We just need to be a little bit more, I don't know, but he does. John the Baptist said, look, turn to him. Turn to him. We need some people who just stubbornly obey Jesus. Just stubbornly obey him. Listen, Jesus, the gospel is the power of God. Yeah, but I'm not sure if I can. Oh, wait a minute, you said that? All right, I'll just do it. I mean, imagine we just did it. Just did it. Just believed him. Try it. It really works. What's going to happen? You'll obey Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, what's the fruit of that? You'll obey Jesus. That is a reward.
Amen.
Plus, he rewards those who obey him. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to see something else in this first part right here. John, excuse me, Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1 again. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What do you see there? I find this fascinating. I find this absolutely fascinating. Where was John preaching? In the wilderness. How do they know that? He's in the wilderness. How do they know that? Nobody was there. He was in the wilderness. You know who was there? God. God was with John in the wilderness. Now, you can think, I need a platform. I need a platform. So God, give me a platform. No. We need some people who will preach in the wilderness. How did this get in the Bible? How did it get in the news? Because the same God that was with John in the wilderness told Matthew, listen, this is important right here. This is an important part of the story. Don't just talk about when the crowds came out. I need the people to know that he was in the wilderness doing this when nobody was looking.
Amen.
Listen, that's where his Bible college was right there, learning how to follow Jesus in the wilderness. Listen, if you won't follow him in the wilderness, I guarantee you won't follow him on the platform. No, you don't need a platform until you follow him in the wilderness. When no one is looking, when no one's looking, God is looking.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that as a warning. I mean that as a blessing. He sees when you're obeying him. When you're out there witnessing at the 7-Eleven, or you're just blessing some mom that you see at the park who's having a hard day, or you're just feeding somebody, or you're just doing things just to help people, God is there with you as you're preaching in the wilderness. Listen, if we're going to be a prophetic voice of generation, quit looking for a platform and just begin to preach in the wilderness.
Amen.
Just be your little sphere of influence, man. No one's going to preach to those people if you don't.
Yeah.
And I have found the more he finds you faithful, the bigger platform he'll give you.
Yeah.
That's been my experience. It may not be the platform your soul wants, but the soul of God will give you the platform that you were designed for. Amen? John the Baptist wasn't waiting. He wasn't waiting for everybody to come out. He wasn't waiting until everybody started loving him. He didn't wait until he found a message that tickled everybody's ear. He just preached the gospel. And then all of a sudden, people started coming out to him. They had to go into the wilderness. He didn't look for a platform in the temple. They came out to him. Because he had the words of life. Amen? Church, we have the words of life. We have the words of life, and they're simple. You don't have to read another book other than the Bible to learn the words of life. Now, I read books, but come on. You know, this reminds me, of another prophet, one of my one of my favorite stories in the Word. Remember Elisha? Elijah was the prophet who took over Elijah's ministry. You know what I'm talking about? And so the Bible says that Elisha was just, Elijah was looking for his successor. Elisha was in the field with 12 yoke of oxen, right? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Elijah came up, and Elisha was with the 12th yoke, which a yoke holds two ox together. So he's with the 12th yoke, and he put his mantle on him. Now, Elijah was the greatest prophet. He was the man. Amen? He was the man. Elisha wasn't in Bible college. He wasn't building his own platform. Now, there's a teaching out there that Elisha had, 24 oxen. Now, think about this. Elisha was plowing a ground that a mule couldn't pull the plow. A horse couldn't pull the plow. He said, I'll try ox, but not just one, not just two, 24. 24 ox pulling his plow. Now, some people say, if you had a field so big that you needed 24 oxen, you must be super rich. right? Elisha was obviously a wealthy man. God raises up the wealthy. If you're wealthy, what are you doing out with the ox? If you're wealthy enough to have a massive farm with a massive plow with all these oxen, you're probably not the one out there tending the animals and pulling the plow. Amen? Any business owners in here saying like, no, someone else has their hands to the tools right now. I'm inside with the books, right? I'm running things. I don't need out there to be hands-on labor. Amen? Any business owners in here who are successful enough to have someone else doing the labor? Amen? Y'all need some businesses. Come on, man. We need some businesses in here. Come on. With employees. I'm thankful for all the businesses here. You need some employees. In the name of Jesus, I just prophesy it over you. Growth in businesses. Amen? That you will be a good employers to your employees. But Elisha was out there with the ox. He was out there with the oxen. It was in the midst of him farming that the mantle of the Lord came upon him. Imagine how much hard work that was. Imagine how hard a work that was that he's out there leading 24 ox to plow a field. He was just working hard, doing what he knew how to do, and moved right into his ministry. Matter of fact, he destroyed everything right after that. Said, I'm leaving this job. Elisha was working hard enough that God anointed him to go into his ministry. Hear me. Some of us just aren't in our ministry yet because we're just not working hard enough at what God has us doing right now. We're not right here successful where God has us. We're already three steps ahead of God. Oh, I'm just doing this job until God puts me in the ministry. Once God puts me in the ministry, all this is good. But I'm just doing this right now to pay the bills. Well, that's all you'll ever be doing until you serve this thing like you're willing to tend 24 oxen to plow the field. If we're going to be a prophetic voice in this generation, we're going to have to look at some hard ground and not say, I'll just try to drag my plow with this donkey. We're saying, no, I need more than what I got right now. I'm busting open this area of my life right now. I'm going to work as hard as it takes. I'm going to be successful in this season right here. And when the Lord is ready, he'll move you out of it. Amen? If we're going to be a prophetic voice in our generation, we're going to have to focus a little bit harder on what God has right before us right now. Amen. Some of you got some opposition in front of you and you're ready to move on to something else, but God is like, no, I need you to plow this ground right now. Amen? Yeah. I'm telling you, I see it right now. Some of you are like, the ground is hard. You can't plant anything right here. I'm looking for a new field. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're going to keep getting hard, rocky fields till you learn how to bust them open. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Because we need some prophetic people who aren't scared of a little hard ground. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. That's where the liberalism comes in. That's where, maybe this word isn't really true because I prayed for some sick people and they didn't get healed. Maybe God's not doing that today. No, we need some people like, I just need some more ox. Amen? I just need a few more oxen. Oh, I can't do it with sick. Imagine the thought process. Oh, try four oxen. I can't bust this ground on with four oxen. Let me try eight. Let me try 10. Let me try 12. Let's try 16. Imagine, here's a man who's like, something's going to give and it's not me. Something's going to give. It's going to be this ground. I own this ground, so it better bring me some produce. Some of you need to prophesy over your ground. You're going to bring me some produce. I'm going to work as hard as it takes for get some breakthrough in this ground. Are you with me? Yeah. Come on. Amen. Give a clap to Jesus. Come on. Tell him I'm going to do it. Yeah. Amen. Second thing I want to show you quickly. First thing, we need to stick to the gospel. Second thing, come on. We need to point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. We don't need to point to our teaching or a book or the goosebumps I got one day. We need to point people to Jesus. The miracles can't even be the point of our message. Amen? Amen. They can't be it. The miracle is a sign. The sign point, I'm yelling a lot here, but I'm pretty excited right now, right? I'm trying not yelling at you. I'm just excited about Jesus right now. Amen? I'm not angry. I'm not yelling at you. I hope you don't feel persecuted. I am excited about the Word of God. Just a little excited right now. And I'm not apologetic about that. I'm apologizing. I'm yelling at you, all right? There's a difference. Amen. We need people to point to Jesus. There's a whole charismatic movement now that we're pointing to signs. We're pointing to miracles. We're pointing to healing. All those things are supposed to be signs pointing to Jesus. The healing's got to point to Jesus.
Yeah.
If you get somebody healed and you move on without telling them about Jesus, I mean, I'm happy that their lives are better, but there's a little something more we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Right? It used to be we would start orphanages to raise up kids to love them in the third world so they can just plant Christianity with the kids. And then Christians just started doing orphanages that were just orphanages. And I'm happy that kids are staying alive through eating, but the whole point's supposed to be to point them to Jesus.
Amen.
And we go out now, there's a whole wave of Christians go out there and heal the sick on the streets and never even mention the name. Never even give people an opportunity to get saved. You don't have to force them down their throat. God wants everybody healed. But you should, might even want to ask them if they want to get saved. There's a good place to start. Hey, would you like to become a, would you like to get saved? Would you like eternity in heaven with God once you die? Would you like it? Because if you don't, that's all right. But if you do, I can make that happen, right? Look at this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptist preached one simple message. Jesus is coming. Make a way for him in your life.
Amen.
That was his message. Greatest prophet ever. All he said was, get ready for Jesus. Get your life ready for Jesus. Get ready. Turn your affection toward God. Jesus is coming. That was his message. We just need to point to Jesus. We just need to point to Jesus. Look. He says, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist basically was saying, look, God is coming, but you have a part to play in it in your life.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, Jesus is coming. Why don't you just go, you know, eat some falafel until he shows up. Just go make a bowl of matzo ball soup. And when he's ready to come, you can come and sup with him. Right? That's not what he said. He said, he's coming. Make his path straight. Repent. Repent. That's the gospel. God is alive. You better live like it.
Amen.
You need to think like it. We need to act like it, right?
Amen.
We might need to believe things we don't necessarily understand or believe.
Yeah.
We need to be believing believers.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
It's about Jesus and us making a way for him to move in our lives. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, we are his workmanship. Listen, if you write in your Bible, underline this next phrase. If you don't write in your Bible, start writing in your Bible. If you don't own a Bible, buy a Bible. If you got your Bible turned on right now, highlight this. Amen? Look at this. For we are his workmanship. Read it with me. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let's read it again. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. It doesn't say we're created in Christ Jesus to lay on the ground and soak. I like it. I like just laying on the ground and let Jesus coming to me. But that's not what I was created for. That empowers me to do the good works.
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't created in Christ Jesus so I can have a church of 9 people that we prophesy over each other every week. And we continue to say, and the Lord says, you're going to be the bishop of Africa. Well, and you're going to have a women's ministry of 40,000 people. Oh, no, but you are an apostle. No, you're an apostle prophet. You're a super apostle prophet evangelist. I mean, like, have you been in these circles where they're just everybody's call just gets bigger? And, no, you're not, because you're created for good works.
Amen.
Good works. We should be working. We have a part to play in God moving through our lives. Amen?
Amen.
We have a part to play in being a prophetic generation, a prophetic people of this generation, a prophetic calling, a prophetic outworking, a prophetic voice in this generation. We have a part to play in it. We are created for good works. Watch this. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Watch this. Which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. This to me is just so comforting. Do you want to do something for God? Honestly, answer me. Do you want to do something for God?
Yes.
He created you to do that.
Amen.
And you don't even have to figure it out. He created you for it. He knows the works he wants you to do. And he made them so that you, watch this, would walk in them.
Amen.
He created you in a way that you would walk in the good works he's created for you. Now, those good works may not be the good works you want to do, but they're what you're created to do. This is so comforting, because you're not going to miss it if you want to do it. You're going to have to actually do something, though. If you're waiting for your call, you're missing your call. Start doing good works. Oh, but I want to preach, and I'm only serving in the children's ministry. You better serve in the children's ministry like it's a platform of 10,000. Because if you're waiting for the platform, it's never going to come. But if you serve Jesus like you would then, now, I promise you, you're going to make it. Don't miss out on what he's doing. You hear me? I don't want you missing out. It makes no sense to go through the trial if you're not going to get the reward. You might as well get something out of it. Enjoy the journey. Are you with me? Oh my gosh, you guys are slowing me up here. All right. Number three, write this down. I don't know what happened here. We'll blame it on God. Number three, judge righteous judgment. Hear me. Judge righteous judgment. Watch this. Matthew 3:7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You children of snakes, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Now, it's easy as we're amassing power, when we amass influence, when people begin to believe us, it's easy for us to begin to love the approval of the crowd. And all of a sudden, the crowd becomes our God. Because if the crowd doesn't react right, all of a sudden your emotions get messed up. The people don't fall down when you pray for them. All of a sudden, you start feeling in fear. Uh-oh, people didn't think I was amazing. And then you start slowly crafting your message to meet amens. Now, we in the church today, we know how to draw crowds. We know how to entertain them. We know how to make it God-ish. Right? We know how to sprinkle it with God enough that some people do get saved. The church has gotten really, really good at drawing crowds. And to some people, that's good enough. And it's a poison. It's intoxicating. And all of a sudden, we begin living for the approval of people other than God. John the Baptist had crowds coming out, and he's rebuking people who are coming out with the wrong heart. Now, you're not John the Baptist, right? But I do want you to hear this. As a prophetic voice to this generation, there's a two-part thing we need to do here. We need to comfort the afflicted. There's hurt people in our generation, and the church is not helping. There are people, hear me, there are people in this generation who have had a bad go of it just because of the skin color they were born with. The church needs to see something better. There's people who've had a bad go of it because of their gender. The church has not helped. There are people who have serious problems with depression, anxiety, all kinds of mental health issues, and the church has told them, you just need to stop it because that's sin. That is not helping. The church needs to comfort the afflicted. That we're supposed to bring comfort to the afflicted. The other side of what we're supposed to do is afflict the comfortable. We are to afflict the comfortable. Maybe there's people out there who are very, very happy being in their racially segregated church. That does not look like the kingdom. If you show up to Life Group and they're serving food you've never seen in your life before, hallelujah, you're in the kingdom. You need to get some sort of cultural training because you just don't understand why people do what they're doing.
Amen. We've just been a little too comfortable.
Yeah.
We need to afflict the comfortable. Some people are just
very comfortable in life. They're comfortable in Boca Raton. They're comfortable in South Florida. Young girls being sold for as in the sex trade. But I'm perfectly comfortable. There's people living in our country earning below minimum wage, being taken advantage of. I'm perfectly comfortable. Women are being beaten in their homes, and people are telling them, that's what God wants, but I'm perfectly comfortable. We need to be a little less comfortable with some of these things in our society. Amen?
Amen.
Hear me. Are your neighbors going to hell? Are your neighbors going to hell?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable knowing that? That's a problem. If I'm comfortable knowing my neighbors are going to hell, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah. Are your coworkers going to heaven? Do you know? Do you even know if are the people in your school, are they going to, are they afflicted by the devil that you could free them of? Are you okay with that? That's a problem. We're just a little too comfortable in our comfortable society. Like I said, I perfectly believe that the Holy Ghost is in air conditioning, right?
Amen.
But I know the Lord has called me to places I don't want to travel to simply because I don't want to travel. And there's some people out there that are not being reached just because we don't want to be discomforted for 12 hours.
Yeah, wow.
12 hours would change an eternity in someone, in a family, in a generation. But like, ah, man, that's 2 hours in the sun to feed the homeless. Something on Netflix I wanted to catch because I can't get enough of that. A little too comfortable. I got a word for us as a church. You know, not all fruit is good fruit. John the Baptist's ministry was growing leaps and bounds, and he's rebuking people. Your heart isn't here. Your heart isn't here. Listen, if you're after this, you're not following God. You think you're going to check a religious box and it's not going to work. You could come here and shout us down and know all the words of the songs and go home, be a complete heathen, and go to hell. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want a bunch of Christians who are just happy to go to church and not operate in any power, not reach their neighborhoods, not reach the people in their lives, not be empowered to be ministers of the gospel. I can't think of anything that would upset. Well, I can think of lots of things that would upset me more, but I don't want to see that happen. I just don't want to be a liar up here, right? I would. My family falling apart would upset me more than that, right? So there are things that would upset me more, but that would really upset me if I just led a bunch of people and I was happy them just following me, but not following Christ. That would be a problem. If you're going to choose, follow Christ. If you see me walking toward him, follow me too. You with me? Not everyone's on your side. Everybody listening to you is not necessarily on your side. John was not afraid of that. He like you know, if people disagree with you, you're not going to break in half, and you don't have to defend God. Amen. He's really okay. You don't have to defend him. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't believe that you're God, whatever. Yeah, I just know that he was alive, and then he died, and he's alive now because I met him. That's just what I'm telling you. Oh, you're bigots and you're hypocrites. Yeah, but he's alive right now because I've met him, and he's really good. You should try to meet him. Are you with me? Number four. Watch me. Killian, come please. The way up is down. Let me explain this to you. The way up is down. John said it this way in 3:11. He says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." John wasn't out there promoting his ministry. I can imagine if John had Instagram, it would have nothing on it. Maybe some pictures of Jesus. Maybe, I don't know. But good God, look at our ministry social media today. We have the answers to everything. No, Jesus. We have to get lower, more humble. We don't need to think less of ourselves. They say it. We need to think about ourselves less, right? We need to not be consumed with us being the center, being number one. We don't tell people about Jesus simply so we don't look bad. And then we'll listen to sermons about how bad Peter is because he abandoned Jesus. Right? I'm not saying that you're like Peter abandoning Jesus except for the fact that you abandoned Jesus because you don't want to look bad. It is what it is. Amen? It is what it is. Still talking about Peter 2,000 years later. He turned out pretty good though. Friday night, like I said, the presence of God came in the room. Many people have visions, some very, very long, very detailed, just an amazing time. And someone had a vision that they saw the call of God for them, and it was at the top of a mountain. And they looked at the mountain, they said, "There's no way I can ever get to the top of that mountain. That mountain is massive." Now, I follow mountaineering, never climbed a mountain. Well, that's not true. Climbed one time. Still want to be a liar. But not a major one. And right now, there's two times of the year that they climb the Himalayan mountains, the mountain peaks. The main time is in the spring, which is actually happening right now. The other time, they try to do it in the winter. Most times, they don't get any summits in the winter because it's just too hard. But right now, people are making their treks up and down Everest and Lhotse and K2 and whatnot, those mountains above the 8,000 meters. And interesting thing happens, there's less oxygen up there. And it's extremely cold, extremely cold. Once you get above 8,000 meters, it's called the death zone. Once you're up in that region, you are slowly dying. And so you have to limit the number of hours that you spend there because you will begin to freeze to death. You will be depleted of oxygen and you will die. And what happens is if you stop moving, you stop creating body heat. And when you stop creating body heat, you get colder, which makes you more lethargic, which makes you not want to move more, which makes your body heat drop even more. And what happens is you get so tired that you sit down and you think, I'm just going to sit down and catch my breath. And when I get more energy, I'll get up. And as you climb Everest today, there are the bodies of people who never got up. It's just all over the mountain. And there's famous ones now that you know if you get to this person who had died on the mountain with this color boots, you know where you're at on the trek because they literally have died all over the mountain. And that's the church today. People just got tired. They sat down and never got up, waiting for someone else to come revive them. And they're beyond reaching up there. Their carcass is there. And you might say they're a mountain climber, and that'd be possibly true, except they're dead. And so there was this mountain in this vision. And on the top of the mountain, he said, I'll never be able to climb that to get to that. And he saw another route, and there was a tunnel. He began to go down the tunnel. And as he went down the tunnel, he started seeing things in this vision. Started seeing different things that God was challenging with and things he wanted him to do. And as he got as low as he could possibly get, hear me, as he got low as he could possibly get in this tunnel, there was the mountaintop. There was the mountaintop. And if you think you got to be a big shot to get your call, you've missed it. The enemy has lied to you. The way to get to where God has you is to get more humble, to deny yourself more, to look for someone that you think is unworthy of God's grace and go give it to them. Go put your honor on someone who does not deserve it. Go put your grace on someone who doesn't deserve it. Because that's what Jesus did with us. Amen? Listen, natural obedience brings spiritual fruit. You start obeying God and who he tells you to bless, who he tells you to give money to, who he tells you to give encouragement to, who he tells you to just get uncomfortable for. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that first the natural, then the spiritual. We need to be working at what God told us to do, and then the spiritual blessings will come. I want to close with this, and again, I apologize, I've gone a little bit long. John the Baptist had a mother and father. Unlike Jesus, he had a natural mother and father. And if you remember, the angel told John that they were going to have, told Zechariah that they were going to have a baby, he and Elizabeth. And he thought, there's no way. I'm just too old. This can't happen. And the call on Zechariah and Elizabeth and what they were supposed to birth was so important that the angel shut his mouth and said, you can't, I just did not want him to curse what God wanted to do. He would not allow him to abort God's plan in his life. And I love those moments when God keeps us from failing. I love that. So the angel shut Zechariah's mouth. And when the baby came out, they asked Elizabeth, what are you going to name the baby? She said, we're going to name the baby John, because that's what the angel said you're going to name him. You're going to name him John. And they said, wait a minute, you know, our custom is that you name the baby after someone in your family who has passed. And they said, there's no John in your family. And Zechariah said, you know, get me a tablet. And he wrote down the baby's name is John. And instantly, he was able to speak. Some of you are just an act of obedience away from God's prophetic voice coming through your life. That ministry being launched, you just need to obey God and what he has told you to do that you not necessarily wanted to do. Maybe you're scared to do it. Maybe you're scared to react. Maybe you didn't think you're qualified. Maybe you think you're overqualified. But you are just an act of obedience away from God, releasing your voice into that ministry God has for you, into the next call, into the next blessing. Can you say amen? Some of you are just like, I'm just going to do it and trust that God is going to bless it. Do you hear me? Stand with me. I'm here to tell you today, if you purify your heart, Jesus is going to purify your life. Amen? If you'll purify your heart, Jesus will purify your life. If you'll just begin to obey God and the things he's told you to do, you are going to watch his spiritual blessings begin to overtake your life. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to say you know how it's going to be done. Just begin to obey God. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to launch some people. He wants to launch some people today. I feel it in my spirit, wow, so strongly right now. God wants to put that stubborn determination on some people today to follow the call of God in their lives. Some stubborn determination. Now listen, maybe you're not a Christ follower. Maybe you've not been converted. Maybe you say, yeah, no, I know, you know, I've always been a Christian. If you say you've always been a Christian, you've probably never been a Christian. Maybe you faked it. I don't know. But when you're converted, you know. When you've been converted, you know. If you don't know, then you probably haven't been converted yet. If you're not sure if you're saved, today's the day, amen? Today's the day, amen? My microphone's still on, right? If you have not been, is anybody in agreement with me right now? Today is the day, amen? We're going to have some people right here at the front, right over here in this corner, and be some people who say a prayer with you. Make sure that your eternity is decided, amen? But also, we're going to have some people at the front who lay hands on you and pray and believe God that this thing is going to come loose in your life. If you need healing in your body, you need deliverance, if you need prayer for anything, or if you just feel like, okay, I'm starting again. We have people here at the front to pray with you. Let's all pray together right now, though. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you. And we thank you that you're alive and you give us second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. Thank you, Jesus, that you're just so very good to us, more than we deserve. Way more than we deserve. So good. Ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Just give me 1 second. I see the Lord is just really, just stay in this presence right here. There's just, don't take this to mean something I don't mean, but there's somebody you feel like your sin has disqualified you. That sin is not you. It's not you. It's not you. And your sin is not more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I've checked. None more powerful, none more greater. Nothing above Jesus. The enemy is saying, get that sin worked out, and then you can start following him. Jesus says, purify. You just follow, and I'll start working on that sin. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Some of you, the greatest testimony you have right now is I keep messing up, but God keeps taking me back. That's a test. Come on. Anybody understand that? That's powerful. His love is still there. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we will be a people who would latch on to your word, proclaim it to the world, and live it. Give us divine appointments with people this week who need to hear this amazing, amazing, amazing story about Jesus who was alive, then he was murdered, then he was alive again, and now he's in heaven praying for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And I pray for your fire to fall on your people in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. We give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, thank you for coming today. Give a couple people a hug. And next week, Steve Long's going to be here. Better show up on time. You might not have a seat. If you need prayer for anything, we got a prayer team right here at the front. They love to lay hands on you and love Jesus with you.